Longstreet said to Hood, I'll do what I can. His mind seems set on it. Hood shrugged. He seemed smaller now when you were close. He had extraordinary eyes. The eyebrows were shaggy and tilted, and the eyes were dark as coal, so that he seemed very sad. Freemetal had a sudden numbing thought. By evening, this man could be dead. Freemantle stared at him, transfixed, trying to sense a premonition. He had never had a premonition, but he had heard of them happening, particularly on the battlefield. Men often knew when their time had come. He stared at Hood, but truthfully, except for the sadness in the eyes, which may have been only weariness, for Hood had marched all night, there was no extra sensation. Nothing at all but a certain delicious air of impending combat, which was with them all, Longstreet most of all, sitting round and immobile on the black horse, gazing eastward. Hood said, Well, if he's right, then the war is over by sundown. Longstreet nodded. We'll see. But going in without picket is like going in with one boot off. I'll wait as long as I can. Hood cocked his head toward the Union lines. Do you have any idea of the force? Longstreet ticked off the corps so far identified, five, counting the two involved in the first day's action. He thought there would be more very soon, that perhaps even now the entire army was up. Lee did not think so. But yesterday he had not thought the Yankees would be there at all, and they were there in force. And now today the Yankees were on the high ground. And with Stuart gone, there was no way of knowing just how many corps lay in wait beyond the haze of that far ridge. Freemantle rode along politely, silently, listening. He had developed a confidence that was almost absolute. He knew that Longstreet was tense and that there was a certain gloom in the set of his face, but Freemantle knew with the certainty of youth and faith that he could not possibly lose this day. Not with these troops, not with Englishmen, the gentlemen against the rabble. He rode along with delight blossoming in him like a roseate flower, listening. Longstreet looked at him vacantly, saw him, then looked at him.
Colonel, he said abruptly, how are you?
By George, sir, I am fine, I must say.
You slept well?
Freemantle thought.
Everyone seems concerned that I sleep well. Oh, very well, he paused. Not long, mind you, but well.
Longstreet smiled. There seemed to be something about Freemantle that amused him. Freemantle was oddly flattered. He did not know why.
I would like someday to meet the Queen, Longstreet said.
I'm sure that could be arranged. Sir, you would be considered most welcome in my country, a most distinguished visitor.
There was firing below, a sharp popping, a scattering of shots, a bunch, another bunch, then silence. Longstreet put on his glasses, looked down into the valley.
Pickets, he said.
Freemantle, who did not know what to expect, started, gulped, stared.
But he was delighted.
He saw puffs of white smoke start up down in the valley, like vents in the earth, blow slowly, lazily to his left, to the north. He looked up at the ridge, but he could see only a few black cannon, a single flag. He said abruptly,
I say, sir, you say you won't be attacking for a bit?
Longstreet shook his head.
Then, if I may be so bold, what's to prevent the Yankees from attacking you?
Longstreet looked at Hood.
I mean, I don't see that you've bothered to entrench,
Freemantle went on. Longstreet grinned. Hood grinned.
An interesting thought, Longstreet smiled. I confess, it had not occurred to me.
Me neither, Hood said.
But I suppose it's possible, Longstreet said.
You really think so?
Well,
Longstreet hedged. He grinned, reached up along the edge of his hat,
scratched his head.
I guess not.
More soberly, he turned to Fremantle.
It would be most unlike General Meade to attack. For one thing, he is General Meade. For another, he has just arrived on the field, and it will take him some time to understand the position, like perhaps a week. Also, he has not yet managed to gather the entire Army of the Potomac, all 200,000 men, and he will be reluctant to move without his full force. Then again, he will think of reason.